very familiar passage of scripture, only 6 verses in this Psalms. Most of us could probably quote at least the first few lines of it just from our memory. And no doubt we've read it any number of times, but I think that most of the time, we don't really understand it to the depth that we should. David, being a poet, a prophet, and a musician, he put thoughts within this passage that go far beyond just a superficial reading. And so this morning, I want to present it to you and maybe drill down into the content just a little bit and excite our minds so that we can meditate on the true meaning of what David was talking about here. So let's just read it. Psalms chapter 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just pray. Father, we come to you this morning. First, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless the offering, that you would bless every person, every family that gives in support of this ministry across the congregation, across the online experience. Lord, that you would open the very windows of heaven and rain down upon their lives your blessings. And I ask you as well for this word this morning, that you would use this vessel, that you would speak through me, and that you would anoint the hearts, the ears of your people, that they might hear, Lord, everything that is in this precious scripture. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. David was a shepherd. He spent his young life, all the way up until he killed Goliath, out on the plains somewhere with a flock of sheep. He had done this for years and years, grew up as a little boy into the life of a shepherd. So he understood what it was to be a shepherd. He understood the responsibilities of being a shepherd. But he also understood the nature of sheep. This is what he did. He had been around sheep so long, he learned many things about them. Now, you and I are city dwellers, and probably none of us have been around flocks of sheep very much. We maybe don't understand the nature of a sheep. And so I've got a quick little clip that I want you, if you could just play that now, to show you the nature of a sheep. You and I are sheep. Now, it's been said that sheep are stupid. The word stupid actually means that they're very slow to understand. They don't learn from their experience very quickly. And as we watch it, especially the second sheep, as he did a plunge into the ditch, think back over your life how often you and I have done the exact same thing. That God has brought us out, and not many days hence, we jump back, not into a different ditch, into the exact same ditch he just got us out of. David as well understood this about himself. And that's one of the things that drove him to, this is a song actually, to write this song. He understood what it was to be a shepherd, his responsibility over the flock. But then he had this revelation, but the Lord is my shepherd. I'm a sheep when it comes to the way of the Lord's. And I've jumped in some ditches and he's pulled me out only for me to jump right back into the same ditch. We're very slow to understand spiritual things. Even the disciples, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. The latter portion of that, Jesus was constantly saying, I go to Jerusalem to be crucified. On the third day, I rise again. And yet when it happened, they weren't expecting it. We're slow to comprehend spiritual things. And so David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. Now understand, he didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Immediately what that does is he puts himself, as we should, reading this psalm, put ourselves in a position of inferiority before the Lord. I think none of us would have a problem understanding we're not his equal. Does anybody have a problem with that? So we should always take a position of humility and inferiority before the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, but it also says he owns me. He belongs to me. I belong to him in totality. He is my shepherd and I am his sheep. And this is the proper position for me to be in life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, immediately the modern mind, when we see that word want, we can fill that bag real quick, can't we? So I open the want bag. We can drop all of our wants in there. But that's really not what David is saying here. This word want in the original language, it doesn't mean want the way you and I think of it. It really speaks of our need and our essentials, those the essential needs of life. That's what he's really saying. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The way that I've taken care of my sheep, I can tell when their tongues are hanging out that I need to get them something to drink. I can tell when there's a disturbance amongst the flock. I need to get them somewhere. They're hungry. I need to get them to eat. And the Lord overlooks our lives and he realizes our essential needs that we have. And he supplies those needs for us. But now the important thing is, wait on God to supply that need. Don't go jump in the ditch trying to meet the need yourself. Wait on the Lord. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And listen, he's not just the great shepherd of the church. Bring it home. He's my shepherd. Every morning that I wake up, I need my shepherd to lead me through that day. Whenever I'm dealing with anything in life, I need my shepherd to guide me as to how to deal with that. So it's not something I just impose upon the church. I bring it home and put myself in that inferior position. I need Jesus, the great shepherd, to be my shepherd. And in doing so, as I navigate through life, I find that I don't want, in terms of, I don't have a want in terms of needs not being met. Now, there's a big difference between needs and wants, and that's where we get ourselves in trouble. When he says, I shall not want, what he is saying is that I'm not going to desire anything beyond the provision that God has given me. Does that make sense? What God has provided for me, the essentials in life, I'm going to learn to be satisfied here, and I'm not going to have wants outside of the provision of God. I'll give you an example. Person could have a good car, runs fine, but they want that big SUV with that $700-$800 payment. Just right into the ditch. Or a person could have a good spouse, a husband or a wife, but they want Bozo in the office. And as they reach for that, they lose this. Right into the ditch. And so it's important that if the Lord is our shepherd, that we don't allow our hearts to project wants that are outside of his provision for us. That we wait on God to meet that need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now get this. The shepherd has to actually lead the sheep to green pastures and get the flock to lay down here, to rest here. Because the sheep don't always know what they need. And I think that's so very true for the people of God. Sometimes we can't discern our needs from our wants. And so it's very important that we let the great shepherd lead us to his provision that he knows that we need, so that we're not chasing our own wants. For example, God has given us a state of mind that we should be in. When you wake up in the morning and you're not hungover, you wake up in the morning, you're in a state of mind, but sometimes we want an intoxicated state that adds a little flair to the state that we woke up in. Right into the ditch. It may take a while, but it's going to happen. Or with reefer, or whatever drugs people consume. Not realizing the provision of God is he got you in your right mind. He's trying to impose and create the mind of Christ in you, and we keep influencing it with our minds with something else. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me besides still water. Now, if we put ourselves as a sheep before the Lord, that takes for granted that we have to allow him to lead us. And there is no Christian that can't say, well, I don't know how. I don't know how to be led of the Lord. Well, stop being so stubborn. That's number one. But every Christian that has ever been born again started out not knowing how to be led of the Lord. Every Christian, including David, didn't even know how to hear God. But little by little, you figure it out. Just like the stupid little sheep that we saw jump in the ditch, that's how we start out. But little by little, we begin to figure out, this was God. That was not God. And by trial and error, we begin to figure out, this is how I walk. And we learn how to allow God to lead you. You cannot lead someone who does not want to be led. Because every time you tell them, come on, let's go this way, they go that way towards the ditch. And anything out from under the master's preview is going to ultimately, may not be on day one, but ultimately, you're going to end up in the ditch. And here's something I found out about the ditch. I've been in it many times. So I'm not beating you up. This is the nature of human beings. I've been in the ditch many times. And when you're in the ditch, you cannot help yourself. All you can do is cry out. All you can do is cry out. And I found something else about the shepherd. The shepherd sometimes will hear you crying out and will take his good time to come get you out the ditch. He may not jump and get you out the first day. He left me in the ditch 7 years crying. That doesn't mean he didn't love me. It means that my head was so hard that it took 7 years of pain and anguish for me to figure out in my slowness to understand, you can't do that. You have to do it this way. And so let him lead you. Let him guide you. And as you continue to mature in him, that leading of the Lord will be clearer and clearer and clearer. What makes it easier to be led of the Lord is when you don't have your own preference. If you have your own preference, your preference is going to contend with the leading of the Lord, and there's going to be a confusion there. And you'll say, well, I don't know what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is telling me. Oh, no, that's not it. It's just what the Lord is saying is not what you want to hear. I was talking to a brother just this morning. He was telling me the Lord has spoke to him and told him exactly what he did not want to hear. And then when he was going through the situation, he realized, man, I did not want to hear that, and I do not want to be here. But because he loved the Lord, he said, well, I have to be led. This is the way that the Lord is leading me. I have to go this way. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so He's led the sheep to the green pastures and to the still waters. It means that God knows all of our various needs. He's not that concerned about our wants, because most of the time we want things that we're not mature enough to handle. How many's ever wanted to hit the $5 billion trillion lottery? How many's ever just wanted that? Just 1 million would mess most of us up. The first thing we would do is rob God as we're getting on the plane to Vegas. And so it takes a level of spiritual maturity to understand how to walk faithfully before the Lord with great blessings in your life. Because it's immediately, here's the acid test. Oh, if I could just hit the lottery. When you think that thought, is there any thought at all for poor people? Or is it an afterthought? Is there any thought at all for getting somebody else out of the ditch, helping somebody else? Or is it just, man, I'm going to Dubai? He leadeth me beside the still waters. You have to let the Lord lead you. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And so as we mature as Christians, we have to mature also in our ability to let God lead us even where we don't want to go. When he came up out of the grave and after his resurrection, he met with Jesus, with Peter rather. And Peter just watched Jesus at the whipping pole. He just watched the crown of thorns put on his head. He watched him beaten and nailed to a cross. And then Jesus turns around and says, Peter, follow me. Follow me. Sometimes he'll tell you that I want you to go in a direction that you do not want to go. And oftentimes, as a matter of fact, because when it goes opposite of what our wants are, there's a resistance that we put up. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. It simply means that God renews us spiritually with our joy, our peace, our spiritual strength. He renews us internally the same way the still waters and the green pastures renew us externally. He takes care of not just the body, the needs of the physical body, but he takes care of the needs of the inward man. How many's ever just felt weak in the Holy Ghost? You know, you walk with God, you battling every day, you living for God, and sometimes you can just say, I'm just tired. I came in yesterday morning. Had gotten up and came down to prayer. And I knew, Lord, I just need a touch from God. I just need something. That wasn't my prayer. I was just, that's where I was at. And I began to pray as I always pray, nothing different. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got in my mouth. And all of a sudden, as I'm walking the floor by myself, my soul is reaching out and I got a hold to God. And it's a renewing. It's just a re-strengthening. The confidence comes. And you know, my God's not forsaken me. Praise God. He renews us. He restores our souls. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, isn't it wonderful when you're living holy? Come on, when you have no condemnation in your life, you're living holy, you're living for God. Bozo at the job's not throwing you off. Nothing on TV's throwing you off. You're solid, man. You're focused on God and you're walking tight. He leads you to walk in those paths of righteousness, but he does it for his name's sake. Not because of any merit that you and I bring. Because if the Holy Spirit were to back up just one half of a step, boom, right back in the ditch. I think Peter said it like a sow to the waddling in the mire, like a dog to the vomit, right back in the ditch. But it's him that renews the inward man, gives us the strength that we need. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, something that you need to understand, it will always have a moral impact. There will always be a more, he will make you better morally, not just visibly. not just so that people can see, oh man, look at that person there. Man, they're walking it out. But no, no, no. On the inside, when nobody's looking, on the inside, when there's nobody to pat you on the back, and you realize, I walk every second of every day, I'm walking before the Lord. I'm in his presence every single moment of the day. He told Moses, he said, walk before me perfect. He wasn't saying to walk in a perfect manner. What he was saying is walk before me, realizing that your every moment of every day is before my presence. Verse 4 says, yay. Now notice how David put that emotion in there. Yay, that signals that David was feeling something when he wrote this. He was no doubt remembering some of the things he had been through. Now remember, David took out a lion and a bear. So he had been through some trials as a shepherd of his flock. And he's watching now as he moves through things. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's present tense. That means he was walking through something right then. We don't know what it is, but he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now notice he said, through the shadow of the valley of death. That's all you and I ever have to contend with, is the shadow. Because Jesus took the reality. He walked through the reality of death. So all you and I have to concern ourselves with is the shadow of death. And listen, no matter how tight you walk with the Lord, there are times that you go through. Come on, there are dark hours that you have to navigate. But that's how you find out who he is. When you walk through a dark place, you realize the light of the world is with me. And he lives inside of me. And in this dark place where I'm at, Christ in me is the illumination that makes this dark place a light place. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's saying that in a fearful place, I don't have to be afraid. Isn't that good? In a place where other people may be afraid, in a place that perhaps would bring fear on the average person, I can be in this place and I don't have to experience fear. Do you realize in the New Testament, it's written approximately 50 times, fear not, fear not, be not afraid. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, speaking to his sheep. Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But yet many times we're in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death, and the first thing to spring up is fear. And we have to get back and realize, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my, in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. This is why we want to live our every moment of the day realizing that we are in the presence of the Lord, that the creator of the entire universe is overshadowing us, that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and his shadow of his wings are over us. Not that God has wings, but it's metaphorical. I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, a shepherd in those days would have a staff. It's the long staff with the hook. And he would use that hook and he'd hook it around a sheep that's in the ditch and pull him up. But he also had a rod. It was a short club. So that when other critters came, wolves or bears or whatever, with the club, it was made for both protection and for discipline for the sheep. For when they're hard-headed. Has anybody ever had the club? For when they're hard-headed, the club helps them to get right if the staff doesn't work. And so the rod is for discipline. The staff is for guiding and for comfort. But he says, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Both the staff and the rod, they bring comfort to me. They comfort my life. Listen, you and I, as we go through this mortal walk, You don't have to live in fear because the shepherd, even if you go to the doctor and he gives you the worst diagnosis you could ever imagine, it's horrible. Says, man, you've got stage 57 cancer. You're going to die at 5 o'clock today. It's that bad. You don't have to be afraid. Provision has already been made for you. God has absolute provision and nothing caught him off guard. He knew from before you was created what that day was going to bring, and he has made provision for you. Verse 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, that's good stuff. When you're, we sing a song and I can't think of the lyrics, when it looks like you're surrounded, right in the presence of your enemies, God sets the spread. He doesn't take you out of the enemies and take you over to the side. Right in the middle of the enemies, God sets a table for you. The great shepherd does this. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. There it is. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, he's still talking about being in the valley of the shadow of death. While you're in the valley, he'll still spread a table right while you're in the valley. Well, while you're in the valley, you can still walk under the anointing because he anointeth your head with oil. So if we stop to realize what David is saying here, and really this is the Holy Spirit through David speaking directly to our hearts, that we don't have to be tossed to and fro by every circumstance of life, that we have a great shepherd. See, when you accepted Jesus as Lord, you accepted him as shepherd. And he, like David, takes his job very serious. Is David, just being a man, would jump on a lion and a bear to protect the flock? How much more do you think our heavenly David would do? Praise God. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, the idea here is that the anointing is being poured out to such a degree that there's an overflow. But what you and I have to make sure, keep your cup upright. You don't want to get it down. Because you need it upright so that you can capture some of that anointing for your brother. So that others around you can benefit from the anointing that's being poured out on you. Is anybody with me this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 6, he says, surely. Again, that word is there to communicate the emotion. Now, first of all, David's saying, I'm in the valley of the shadows of death. In the valley, he's spread a table before me in the presence of the enemies. He's anointed my head with oil. If he's doing that in the valley, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me until next Sunday. No. Until next time I can get the preacher to lay hands on me. No. Here's something every Christian has to come to understand. The preacher's there, of course, to be a tool for you, but you're a Christian with or without the preacher. When you ain't got no preacher, you're still a Christian. And you still got a great shepherd. Hallelujah. And when all the minor shepherds are nowhere to be found, the great shepherd, he will still watch over you. And he still will meet all of your need. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means come to church. That means you got to stay where the word of God is flowing, where the anointing is flowing. And I understand that a lot of people have good reason not to be in church because they're simply not a church where the preacher has enough respect for the word of God to preach it. They go out to left field and do this religious goulash stuff. But here is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so you can always come to a house of God. There's others like us. We're not the only one. There are other real preachers in real churches that stay centered on the Word of God. That's where you need to find. You don't want to go to these successful places that have become successful by milking the Word and taking the strength from the Word. I mean, the little video that we showed of the sheep stupidly jumping back into the same ditch and then equating that to you and I, you're not going to get that in a successful church. You're going to get that when someone wants to communicate to you exactly what the scripture, how we are to see ourselves. How many ever jumped back in the ditch just like this sheep? More than once. It's common. It's how we learn. It's simply how we learn. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Such a simple psalm, but God, you've communicated so much to us. Help us now, Lord, as we walk away from this service today, help us to understand that you are the shepherd and we are the sheep. That all that you do in us and through us and for us, God, is for your name's sake. Lord, help us to rejoice, even in the shadows of the valley of death. Help us to rejoice, knowing that you spread a table for us. You anoint our heads with oil. You cause our cups to run over. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning and just reach out to the Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that you're our shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you're our Lord, our shepherd, our shield, our buckler, our exceeding great reward. We thank you this morning for who you are. And God, open the eyes of our understanding that we might see more of who you are, that we might have a comprehension, a greater comprehension of who you are in our lives. And that in reality, it's not at all about us. It's only about you and your goodness that's reflected through our lives. Father, help me to be a vessel. Help me to be a vessel, Lord, that the anointing that I receive in the valley, that it might go to others around me. Bring me to a place, Lord, that I can touch other lives the way that you've touched my life. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. He loves you. He loves you this morning. Just reach out.
Father, we thank you that you've said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And every time we fall, Lord, every time we fail, you're there to pick us back up, Lord, and set us back on the right path. We thank you for being a loving, patient God. We ask you, Lord, that you would put that same heart in us that we can be patient and loving to others. Help us to have the same mind that you have for us to have it in our mind and give people grace and give people mercy. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful word this morning. We do have a few announcements. Of course, if you haven't had a chance to give, please do so. We always do need your help. We do have the church barbecue coming up this Saturday. It's going to be from 12 to 2. So Saturday, May 3rd. And there are sign-up sheets in the lobby. Today is the last day to sign up if you're coming. So please let us know. Also, if you are able to volunteer to help, to serve or clean up afterwards, please sign up in the lobby. And today is the last day. So again, we do thank you so much for being out with us, and you are dismissed.